Hi, this is Vanessa Marshall. I play Hera on Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to the Fandom Podcast.
Welcome to the Fandom Podcast. This is a show that brings together geeks and nerds from across the fandomverse to analyze the news and discuss your favorite TV, movies, comics, and books. Last week, Star Wars The Last Jedi came out, so of course, that means this week we are talking about Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Okay, except I don't out. Think the fact that you did not put in the Star Trek theme song, I'm very disappointed in you, sir.
Is he done talking yet?
It is time to fulfill your destiny.
All right, since I've got a soundboard and I'm going to use this, and Nick decided to do like an evil sounding quote. So, let's do some introductions here first, people.
When I found you, I saw Ron, untamed power. And beyond that, something truly special.
All right, if I leave that music going on, we could never get these intros out. Okay, so we have our hotshot flyboy, Nick English.
Wow. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, and then he has a message for General Hux. His name is Jeff Dumas. Can you hear me? Can he hear me?
Yeah. I'll wait. It's important.
This is General Hux. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm holding for General Hux.
No. I am now. General Hux. Deliver your message.
Yeah, if you want to just go ahead and put me through, that'd be great.
Nick, can he hear me?
Yes, he can hear you.
Oh, is he just tooling with me?
Tooling? I thought it was trolling, but I guess tooling is a word too, right?
I don't know, it might be the British.
All right. All right. I am Brandon Nuccio. And in case you were wondering, this is going to be a very spoiler-filled episode. Those quotes were not really spoiler-filled. Don't get your panties in a bunch. But just in case, here is your spoiler horn.
Really?
Maybe here's your spoiler horn. Maybe this is the spoiler horn?
Ho, ho, ho.
So, news? Sorry.
One of those is your spoiler warning. If you have not seen Star Wars The Last Jedi and you plan to see it and you don't want to be spoiled on it, this is the time to leave. No, actually.
And come back and listen later.
Don't leave. Just hit pause. Go to the movie theater and then come back. We'll wait.
You can leave if you want. I mean, you're listening on a mobile device. You can go wherever you want.
Don't let them know that. Do not let them know that, because if they know that they can leave, they're going to leave.
Do you not know how podcasting works?
Apparently not. So,
I thought you were the expert.
Yeah, remember how literally in the last episode we were saying how we need you for only one reason? Turns out we don't need you for that reason.
In case you didn't listen to us and you are still listening, we'll describe it real quick for you, and then we're going to jump into the discussion because we have a lot to discuss. Okay, so the first thing about this is it picks up immediately following The Force Awakens. You have the Resistance on their planet where now the First Order knows where they're at, and they're coming after them to destroy them. They're loading up. They're trying to get out of the place. And that is the scene where we get Poe flying up to the main ship and trolling Hux. I laughed because it's like every conference call that I've ever been in. He's like, can you hear me? No, you can really mess with people. And so I felt like he was in an office messing with people. And so it made me laugh. But so you get Poe trolling General Hux over the conference line. And then you get some attack scenes and some escape scenes and a bunch of really cool World War II style bombers attacking a dreadnought.
Those things were slow.
Yeah, but they were bombers. Bombers are always slow.
If they were fast, the movie wouldn't have been so dramatic.
Sure.
Poe wouldn't have learned a really important lesson.
I guess they are carrying a heavy load, but at the same time, that doesn't matter in space.
In space, it's about inertia. That was another thing. Like, they kept talking about how they can't outrun us. I'm like, they don't have to keep expending fuel to keep going, to keep moving. They just have to not run into anything.
Well, Brandon, these movies are for children, so, you know.
Well, some might argue that.
That's
all right,
the George Lucas argument. How come this? The movies are for children.
That's true. I saw a person online saying, if you went to The Last Jedi and are complaining that there are plot holes, that is like going to the ice cream store, ordering an ice cream cone, and complaining that it's cold. It's Star Wars. All right.
Kind of true. Although I did notice that like my parsecs thing was totally just debunked in this. They totally used it as a distance.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
In this movie. In this movie, she says, oh, we got to go 5 parsecs or whatever. And I was like, oh. I was like, well, all right. Well, I can't say that anymore.
Sure, all right. Well,
more than one person can be wrong in a single universe. I mean, look at the universe we're currently in.
Maybe the resistance is kind of small and a lot of people had just died. And so maybe they couldn't, maybe the person running navigation didn't know what they were doing, read the wrong number.
Yeah, I just remember vividly hearing her say, oh, we've got to go 5 parsecs or something. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. So the First Order, so the Resistance is running away from the First Order. Something interesting about the opening crawl was Resistance was all capitals the very first time it showed up. They were like, this is the Resistance, not the Rebels. People get it right. So the Resistance running away from the First Order. And then after that scene, you get a flash over to Rey as she's handing Luke the lightsaber.
Which leads to my favorite scene in the movie.
Which is?
Luke immediately throws it over his shoulder and walks away.
And almost killed Zippor.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it had it coming.
No, I think I mean, I was with Jeff. We were sitting right next to each other when we saw it, and we both looked at each other and was like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
We were both just like, this.
I didn't know I wanted
like,
that.
That is the that is the absolutely last thing that you would ever expect to happen in that
moment. See, and I would say that scene is one of the most important scenes of the movie, because it tells the audience member, hey, you know all those things that you think we're going to do? We're not going to do them.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that I think this entire movie was kind of a...
Oh, this whole movie was a giant middle finger to fan theories. Like, okay, I don't think it was a middle finger.
I think it was just take what you know and you know what it doesn't... Well, I guess that is a middle finger.
Let's go write the script. First off, okay, who do they want Rey's parents to be? Okay, doesn't matter. Okay, who do they think Snoke is? Doesn't matter.
No, actually, they did tell us who Snoke was. If you watched in the throne room scene, you very clearly could tell that Snoke is actually Hugh Hefner.
I hate you so much. Oh, jeez. I hate you. Because I'm sitting here going like, wait, did I miss something? It's like, I mean, it doesn't really matter in the long term, but... Oh.
Where did you pick that up?
How did
that come to your mind? I doubt it.
I saw that when I was watching it the second time. I'm all like, that robe looks like he's in his pajamas. He's like an old guy in a robe. And then
he's wearing his smoking jacket.
Yeah. And so then I was like, you know who else is another old guy in a robe? Hugh Hefner. And so
I was about to say something in poor taste.
Anyway. Dude, we literally did not get like any like at all on who Snoke is.
Nope. We didn't.
Not even inkling. It's just he is a powerful force user and he doesn't matter as much as you think he should. And so
he doesn't matter nearly as much as the internet made me think it was going to.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody was putting this movie into a box. They were already deciding, okay, this is the Emperor, this is Darth Vader, this is Luke Skywalker. You know, like everyone has decided that this is how this movie was supposed to be. And I think this is also why people either like or don't like it, is that they've put it into this box. And then when that box was thrown away, they didn't know how to react.
Yeah, people spent the last 2 years coming up with their favorite theories. You know, we did the same thing. But here's the difference between us and the people who are freaking out about this.
Is that we weren't as serious about it?
When their favorite movies...
No, we were serious about it.
When their favorite theories were not taken into account, they felt like they were slighted. I'm sorry. They don't have to do this. They don't have to do everything that you think so. And even if you think something's important, it might not be. And so people are like, oh, who are Rey's parents? You know what? They didn't tell us who Rey's parents are, but that doesn't mean there's some mystical force user. You're just trying to figure out who Rey is. Rey also, she...
No, I like that she's a no one.
Yeah. Oh, I've got some definite opinions.
I mean,
I can
go off on this for a moment.
We'll go off on
it like.
in a few minutes.
Brandon has to get off his soapbox first. Don't trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I was trying.
Kind of. So,
I was just making sure.
Yeah. We'll get to that. It's in our feedback actually. But okay, look at one thing. Force Awakens was directed by J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams is great at starting stories, not great at finishing them. And so...
But he is trying to finish
Right, right.
Them.
But I don't...
He actually is doing
I'm
a pitch
a
right now for
that,
the last
to be honest.
One.
But I don't actually think that J.J. Abrams had a master plan for Rey's parents or Snoke.
That's kind of like what Shane Black said about Iron Man 3. When someone asked him, well, where are you going to go? Where is the Marvel supposed to go after here? He said, that's not my problem. I made my movie. Now someone go fix it.
Since we're talking about Star Wars, I might as well bring up a great episode of Star Trek.
Makes sense.
So I believe it was Best of Both Worlds. Captain Picard gets captured by the Borg and gets turned into a Borg.
Spoiler.
And you see, it's Star Trek. Star Wars people don't care about Star Trek spoilers. For like 20 years ago. He's captured. The writer, when they were interviewed, saying, whoa, how did you do that? And he said, you know what? We thought the show was getting canceled, and so I figured it wasn't my problem. And he did come back on to help write the second half of it, but he thought the show was getting canceled. So he's like, let's go out with a bang. And then they didn't get canceled. So
I hate it when that happens.
Probably partially because of that cliffhanger.
Possibly, like people loved that. They really did. And so
it's one of the best story arcs in,
yeah,
in Next Gen.
So I think that's kind of what J.J. Abrams does, is he swings for the fences and then he's like, I don't know what I'm doing next, and hopefully it works out this time and wasn't like Lost. So
yeah, I've never seen Lost.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then that went right over your head. Let's talk about some feedback.
Feedback, 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 feedback.
So I really like the fact that this movie has gone away from you have to be a certain family, you have to be a first certain lineage, you have to be a certain way, a certain class, a certain creed, a certain type of person in order to be great or in order to be important. We've gone away from the classic story of Frodo, you know, he's the one, of Neo, of... you know, the Harry Potter, you know, whomever. I mean, think of all of your favorite shows and think they are always somebody special for some reason, right? Other than the fact that they can do magic or they are the one that can hold the ring or whatever. We now have the example of an amazing, awesome, and beautiful person who was basically no one. Like her parents were horrible people, and she was just awesome and was able to become awesome. Now that, you know, that could change in the next movie. Like, I mean, it could be that Kylo Ren is just trolling her because he's a liar all the time, no matter what. And so he could have just been saying that to try to upset her and have her turn. I mean, we could.
Okay. So, I've been hearing people say this all weekend long, and I want to say that's wrong because Kylo Ren never says your parents are commoners. Until Rey does. Rey is the first one. Kylo Ren says, you know who your parents are. You've known this entire time. And Rey says they were commoners.
See, but I'm not saying I want that. I don't want that.
Okay.
I want her. It's kind of a theme throughout the whole movie. And I think that's why it's so effective, is that...
This is like the anti-hero's journey.
Yeah. Like, I kind of love the fact that even in the very last shot of the movie, there is a kid who is basically a slave that cleans up, you know, weird animal racing poop. And he is inspired by, you know, Finn and Rose. And he holds up his, you know, broom and says, I'm going to fight. Like, I don't like this. And he's a nobody, and he can use the force. Yeah, like
He willed the broom.
Yeah, no, I get that. No, I totally get that. And I think he understands that. But I like the fact that we don't have to be a part of the family or the established, you know, already characters in order to be amazing.
Who was Anakin?
Well, Anakin was, you know, the daughter of a...
Well, Anakin, they kind of went in reverse.
Because he's kind of a little girl. No, I'm just kidding.
Anakin, they did the reverse. They did the... They established the character and then turned him into a nobody who turned into something.
Well, and we don't know who his dad was.
And we didn't care who his dad was. No one, I mean, no one for a second
thought. They said that he was born of midichlorians or whatever. I mean, some people, he was kind of like a miraculous birth. Like that's what.
There was no father.
Immaculate conception or whatever. And I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean,
what reason would Shmi have to lie to Qui-Gon? Yes, I'm defending the Phantom Menace, okay?
Because she knew that those Jedi could get her son off the planet if they believed that he was the one. But anyway, so we see Rey, being this nobody from nowhere. Like Luke pretty much says, "Yeah, Jakku, that's pretty much nowhere." And her
I liked that part.
And she is being a reflection of Anakin, where Anakin was a nobody from nowhere. And so I think
the cycle is it. Do we want to say that the cycle of the Force is happening over again, but just in a different family?
Yeah. So George Lucas in the commentaries on the prequels, he's talking about how there's a lot of similar scenes in there. And he says, it's like poetry, sort of, they rhyme. And what he's saying there, is there's a pattern. There is a cycle that we get. And I actually think that this is a theory that is being confirmed in when Rey goes down to the dark altar of the Octo, where she touches that mirror and she sees herself just going on forever. And I think that scene right there signified that this is something that happened before and is going to happen again, and it will go on through all eternity, because there was just step by step by step by step, it's going to happen again. And so
you think the cycle of the Jedi becoming Jedi and then there being a yin to the yang and then them destroying each other and then them like that's the cycle.
Yeah.
And she's just starting
that
the cycle
battle
again
for the balance. And the cycle's just starting over again. So Sarah, friend of the show, Sarah, she wrote into us and she talked about a couple things. She was talking about Rey going down into the pit to investigate the dark side of the Force. And when Rey sees herself reflected through infinity and asks about her family, it was pretty straightforward. The version of her looking into the abyss while the abyss looks back into you. But in this case, Rey is an inherently good person who draws her strength from her core self, not validation of others, not wealth, not political power. The reflection communicates that she is what makes herself special. This is kind of what you were saying there, Nick, is she, it's not because of who she was, where she was born, and what she is special all on her own. And she's the one who's decided to do that. Sarah also points out that she thinks that this gives Rey, this means that Rey, the dark side has no temptation for Rey. And that it's just her figuring out where her personal power is. So she asked what we thought the pit meant. My thought is that this is telling us, this is foreshadowing that this has happened before and it will happen again. She wants to know what we think. So do you guys have any ideas on what you think about that?
I just thought it was a cool scene. You guys think about movies a lot more deep than I do. It was just a cool movie. Why does it have to have a meaning? It was just Rian Johnson going, oh, wouldn't it be really cool if like there was like 1,000 Rays? Wow. That'd be awesome. And then a screenwriter was like, okay. And they type up this scene and he gets all the credit.
So when I saw that scene, I was comparing it to when Luke goes into the cave.
Uh-huh.
you know, I mean, I was saying, okay, every Jedi has to have a moment where they have to be tempted
and face their fear.
And even Luke, was saying, don't go down there. Like, I mean, he was getting mad.
You didn't even try to resist this.
And it was, and you later find out why. I mean, Luke has failed himself to the nth degree, right? Like, I mean, the reason that he is in this crazy state is because he did basically the thing that he thought was the worst thing he could possibly do. You know, and so he exiles himself because he's like, I'm no better than my father, you know, was, even though, you know, and I created a monster even with my best intentions. And so, you know, it's a learning moment for her and for him at the same time of who she is and why it could happen. I really like what both of you said is, you know, it's a representation of the cycle, and that also she's the only one. I really like both of that. I hadn't thought about that much. I've been thinking about a lot of other stuff. I wasn't really focused on that part, but just the main thing was that I felt like that was her going into the cave and that awakening, or what, you know, whatever you want to call it, to decide where you want to go as far as the Force goes. And because she was not attempted, I mean, she wasn't at all. I kind of took it as, well, she doesn't really know what's going on. We've kind of established that she really hasn't no idea.
She needs somebody, you know, what to the show Force her is or anything. Place
She's just
this.
Kind of acting on instinct all the time. And up to this point, instinct has served her for the light because her core is good. But yeah, that's what I took on that. But I mean, Luke is just so crazy in this movie. I mean, everything about him, like everything that you thought would happen, that Luke would just come out and become the most amazing and most powerful Jedi ever in the world. I mean, which has been established, like, is canon that Luke is the most powerful Jedi that has ever lived. Right. I mean, that's a thing that has been.
I don't know if it's in new
established,
canon.
Right?
I know that it was in the extended lore. But that's just Legends now. So I don't know that he the most powerful.
Well, it's really easy to say Luke's the most powerful Jedi when he is the only living Jedi.
Yeah, but I think that it was ever. But, I mean, I would be okay with that, and I would be okay that this is what would happen to that person.
So Mark Hamill said that he fundamentally disagreed with Rian Johnson's take on everything about Luke. That being said, he was going to do his best to make the performance come across the best way that he could. So are you saying that Mark Hamill's wrong and that you don't disagree with how this character would go?
No, what I was saying, well, and then if you continue, he redacted what he said. He said, when I first read through what was going on, I was like, whoa, he had the same reaction that we all have had. Whoa, this is not what I was expecting at all.
I am so right? glad like, that you brought that up. I was
right?
setting that up.
And then he came back and said, but I really, like, after I saw what happened and I thought about it for a while, I'm really okay with it because I really feel like this is how Luke would have acted. Like, he even says that.
He goes from being the most optimistic
in a later interview
to this hermit, and he had to figure out why.
Apparently, headline, fans start a petition to remove The Last Jedi from Star Wars canon.
As I looked at it earlier today, there were only 556 signatures on that petition.
Now there's 1,800.
Wow.
But it's still like, guys, come on. And also, yeah. I like Pat's comment on here. If you're going to redo anything, it should be Anakin's character. Every franchise has a crappy movie. Thor Ragnarok. Last Jedi. If that's what you think it is. That's what I'm saying. I don't think Last Jedi should be removed from canon. I also don't think Thor should. That's another... We already talked about that. But I'm saying, like, every nerd has their opinion. Just because you didn't like Last Jedi doesn't mean you have to ruin it for everyone else.
This is... Okay, so this is something that I've noticed with a lot of these comments. And I moderate a Star Wars spoiler chat group. And so I've seen a
Why
lot
would you
of
do
comments.
That to yourself?
I don't know. I started it 2 years ago and it's just kind of stayed
there.
It's
pretty interesting. I mean, it's fun. I find it fun. And I also like it because I like other people's opinions. I know mine, you know, and I know that what I think, but it also helps me, you know, figure out how I really feel about the movie. I mean, it really was kind of therapeutic for me.
So one of the things that I've noticed based off of these Star Wars spoilers and how people are saying what they like and what they didn't like, the only people I have yet to see a woman say that they did not like this film. I've seen a couple women say that they didn't like certain parts of it, and that's perfectly acceptable. But the only people who said this was a terrible film have been men. And there was even one person in this, so there was one person in this chat group who made the comment, said, "I usually think that any movie with boobs in it, the more boobs, the better. This one, I think we need fewer boobs." And I commented right there and I said, see, usually I think to myself, I can't show my daughter this kind of a film. And I finally can. Quit being chauvinistic. Within about 30 seconds, he deleted the post on his own, which I'm glad, because that's what I wanted. I think the people who have the biggest problem with Luke are the people who are like, but I grew up thinking that I was Luke Skywalker and that I was going to be the one. And now that Rey's the powerful Jedi, I can't be the hero of the story anymore. And you know what? To those people, I say, screw you. I watched my daughter turn to me in the movie theater. She's 3 years old. And when Rey got on the screen, she turned to me and says, that's me. She's three. Don't tell me that female lead character roles aren't important to young girls. My daughter literally said, that's me, to me, when we went and saw it in the theater. So I think that the people who have the biggest beef against The Last Jedi are the people who feel like somebody has taken over their toy box. And they're playing stories that they didn't play with themselves as children. But I'm sorry, we had Rey, we had Leia, we had Holdo, all three, and we had Rose. We had four powerful, strong women at different points in their power who were decent role models for young women, and young boys could do just the same. Young boys could look at Finn's journey, they could look at Poe's journey, they could look at Luke's journey. There's something for everybody in this, but it's the people who wanted this to be Luke Skywalker sweeps in with a laser sword and saves the day movie that weren't happy.
What am I supposed to do? Stand in front of all more with a laser sword and they'll run away?
Exactly. Exactly. This is the only Star Wars movie,
you know,
that has, aside from Rogue One, that did not have a single lightsaber fight.
Yeah, it did.
No, that's
yeah,
not true. Because No, it didn't have a lightsaber fight. The lightsaber never clashed against another lightsaber.
Didn't that happen?
Well, are you talking about the...
Just in that scene?
At the last scene? Or in the scene...
The throne room scene, the lightsabers never clashed. The only time that... There was one time that we saw a lightsaber clash in the movie. Okay, there was one time, and it was in Kylo Ren's Rashomon flashback.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember him fighting someone.
Yeah. So Rashomon was a Kurosawa film that that Rian Johnson used for some inspiration, where basically the whole storyline is what is truth, and it really depends on which angle you look at it from. And so there are a lot of people who are saying, you know, a New Hope is Hidden Fortress and this is Rashomon. So anyway, that's
interesting.
That's beside the point. But they wanted epic lightsaber battles, and the throne room was pretty dang cool, but it wasn't a lightsaber battle.
I mean, I guess the lightsabers don't fight other lightsabers in that. They fight electric whips and tomfas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is cool. So, which was really cool. I was like, "Yes." Anyway, I had a thought when you were bringing up all of these different characters and their journey. I mean, you were kind of going down the list and you were saying, okay, Finn and Poe and stuff. And I think so one of the things I loved was Poe's story. Mm-hmm. Because when it was happening, it was every other movie, right? Like, it was every other sci-fi movie where the
Rogue says, I am right, right? I know what is best. You guys are doing what's wrong. And so they come up with this huge plan, and they send Finn and Rose off to this place to find the hacker so that he can fulfill his plan. And, you know, during this whole journey that's going on, you know, we've had this note before. We've all played this game before where, oh my gosh, you know, you were expecting at the end for them to succeed, for Holdo to be like, oh yes, I was wrong. You were right. You were great. Here's a big pat on the back. Here's a medal. You win, right? Like that's what we're, mm-hmm. That is a story that is so prevalent in all of it. And that's not at all what happened.
Not at all.
Not at all. Everything failed. They didn't find the master
code breaker,
right? They found another guy, and it is actually because Poe did that they lost.
Sorry, yeah, it's bugging me.
That Poe sent them to go find him. It was Poe's idea, and because Poe sent them,
only kind of half.
This is all Poe's fault.
Oh, completely.
Like, and this, it is completely Poe's fault that all of those people died, because
well, to be fair, had what's her face, whose name I've already forgotten, just said, hey, Poe, don't worry, we have a plan, not just keep moving, well, but not just so get out of my bridge.
She is a vice admiral and Poe is a captain. She doesn't have to tell Poe that they have a plan.
No need to mutiny. I have a plan. There's a planet in our way. She just said we're heading for a planet and it's going to work. Maybe Poe wouldn't have had to mutiny.
Well, but at the same time, like, she might have not done that because she knew the state that he was in, right?
Yeah, but wouldn't that have calmed him down? Like, look, Poe, we have a plan. The plan isn't running away. He wouldn't have needed to be involved. There is nothing for him to be involved in because,
we have a plan. Okay, what plan are we going to? Oh, my gosh, what can I do? What am I going to do? Yeah, I'm going to help you. I'm going to do this.
Do nothing.
Get you off my back. I'm just going to get you off my back right now because you are nothing to me right now. Now, that being said, I mean, Holden, her story is awesome as well, because the reveal that she's good and not bad, like, I mean, they were kind of trolling us on that point too.
But that's because, like, that's a stereotype character that we are used to seeing, is the, especially in the females, the female authority figure who doesn't know
command
better.
Steps up and feels like she has to fulfill the role of Leia
and screws
everybody over because she's got this ego, right? But in the end, she was actually doing what was right, and this is like a lesson for Poe, and this is a lesson for the world in a way, you know, like, it, you know, just because you have this enormous plan, you're not always right. Right, like, this is something that was even touched on in the Hunger Games. Like, I mean, that's immediately what I thought of, was the third Hunger Games book, when it's like Katniss is like, I know what's right, I'm just going to go out and blow it up, and then they show her that because she decided to do that, everyone died, and she needed to follow orders. Like, that's immediately what I thought of. But I mean, there's so many times that, you know, as employees, as, you know, sons and daughters, as friends, we only have a little bit of the story and we think, oh my gosh, I know what needs to happen. This is so important. And we come up with this grand plan and we say, if only this could happen, everything would be fixed. And then we find out a little bit more and we're like, oh my gosh, I was so wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we should trust everything that all of our leaders say, but I'm also saying that we should learn from that, right? Like, we should be able to accept that maybe we don't know everything and, you know, make decisions based on also not knowing everything and giving people a chance to prove themselves.
This movie was a movie about hubris.
To me. Like,
this entire movie was about hubris. Luke's point was that the Jedi had too much hubris when they thought they had too much power and they knew everything. Snoke died because he thought that he knew exactly what Kylo Ren was doing, and Kylo Ren was manipulating his thoughts to say, oh, he's turning his lightsaber to strike his true enemy, and not bothering to think, oh, maybe I'm his true enemy. He thought, no, I'm too powerful, I know too much, he's not going to strike strike me down. You have Poe thinking that he knows better than Leia at the beginning, and we're going to bomb this dreadnought and lose their entire bomber fleet. You have Poe doing a mutiny because he knows better. You have Finn running off because he knows
Leia
better.
Just takes him out.
So what?
Yeah, there. I mean, and it's funny because that theme is exactly what no one want, like nobody thought would happen. But also, all of those fanboys out there that are just freaking out, you know, this is not the way it was supposed to happen because I
know better because I spent two years theorizing about this.
Funny thing about all of this stuff, all of these people out there that are saying this movie was terrible because of this, and this, they believe that they know better. And that's exactly what the show is trying to tell them, that maybe you don't. Like, I don't know. I just think it's kind of hilarious in a way, but it's kind of saying, look, you don't always know what's right and you don't always know what's best. And even if you don't agree with me,
sometimes you have to trust
me. Sometimes you need to accept that that's just the reality. Like,
well, you know, one of my favorite parts is when I don't even know her name, but the gal who's there giving Leia's status update says, well, and I think we all know who should be in command now. And Poe's getting ready to stand up and be like, yeah, thank you for giving me this command. And he was like, no, Admiral Holdo, you are a captain. You do not outrank an admiral. Why would you think that? Just because you've been trained by Leia? No. Now, I mean,
because you're the best in the fleet. You know, you're the best pilot.
So, so speaking of Leia, though, I do want to bring up one thing. She's a freaking Force user now. I know people hated that scene. Out of any scene in the movie, people hated that scene. But oh my gosh, that was so much fun, because I went into that movie the first time thinking to myself, how are they going to deal with Carrie Fisher's death? And so when that bridge exploded and she gets sucked out into space, I'm like, that's it. That's how they did it. She's dead.
Yeah, both me and Jeff were like, really? That early?
Yeah, like, it was like, well, and my thought was, well, they must have needed to drastically change the story, and obviously you can't do reshoots with her, so they must have just taken her out so that they could rework the story, because they took a whole a week or two of meetings to say, how are we going to do this now after Carrie Fisher passed away? And so I thought to myself, oh, okay, that's the last I'll see Carrie Fisher on the screen. And then all of a sudden her hand turned and I realized what was happening. And
yeah, it was kind of weird.
I here's the thing. They were messing with my emotions and it was completely planned. And that is a part in the movie where I teared up because I'm like, she's not dead. Like, cause I knew she was dead. That was another time in that movie. We knew what was going to happen and it didn't. And so I thought that was awesome. I had a loud talker behind me in the theater, and by about halfway through the movie,
hey, I wasn't there.
He would turn to his, I'm assuming it was his dad. He would turn to his dad and say, this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And this is going to happen. And halfway through the movie, that. I realized everything that he has said has been wrong, flat out wrong. And so if he says something else, I know that's not going to happen, because that was one of the things he said, oh, that's how they're going to deal with her death. And nope, that's not how they were going to deal with her death. So I'm excited that they were like, she's a Force user, deal with it.
Well, and I like that they established that like being a Force user doesn't automatically make you a Jedi, and that you don't have to be a Jedi if you're a Force user. Like, I mean, it's clear that Leia chose a different path, right? But she also knows what she has, and she's probably, you know, with the help of Luke or whatever, knows what's going on. I mean, she knows that she can use the Force. She can talk to Luke, right?
Right.
Through the Force, and she can feel his feelings. She knows what's going on.
Well, and you know, as a parent, I try to learn the things that my kids are learning. So, you know, Ben goes to Jedi school. Maybe she's studying a little bit on her own.
I like that. I thought that scene was kind of odd. I mean, I was just kind of like, whoa, this is weird. But at the same time, I was fine.
Yeah. So,
I mean, a lot of the complaints I've seen is that the CGI looked weird, which great.
So, Jeff, what did you think about this scene? Nick and I are kind of torn on it. Be the tiebreaker. The Leia scene.
It was kind of jarring to be like, oh, so I guess she can do that now after showing no real use of it before. And I'm sure 1,000 nerds are going to shout out and at once saying that that's wrong.
As if 1,000 voices. Nerd voices shouted out.
Yeah.
Oh, the Jedi are going to feel this one.
Jeff.
That's one of my favorite lines from Futurama. 1,000 robots are about to be destroyed. Fuzzball. Oh, the Jedi are going to feel this one. Yeah, it felt weird that she just, from what I noticed, she went from 0 to 60. But then it's kind of, you just kind of accept it.
And that's kind of what, I mean, Rey did in the first movie. Like, so,
well, and then
I mean, it's kind of been established that for some reason, people just all of a sudden learn how to use the Force. But I don't think in Leia's case that all of a sudden she learned how to use it. I think she was trained.
Yeah.
I think all of a sudden she understood what it was. I would be surprised if throughout her life there were moments where she was doing something Force related. And then once she met Luke, it's like, oh, that's what I was doing.
Possibly. Like the kid, the Jedi broom boy probably doesn't even realize what he's doing when he pulls the broom to him. Because he's reaching out for it to grab it, and it's just like, oh, there it is. Like, I doubt that was conscious. Okay, so what do you think about Ackbar? Did he just get footnoted? Because he was on the bridge with Leia too.
He went down in a blaze of glory.
But was it really glory? Because nobody was looking at him when he went down. Everybody was looking at Leia.
Yeah, I think that this movie, like, really tried hard not to make a like scene out of huge moments. Like, it was really trying to say that the world doesn't happen
in those
always
huge moments.
In these amazing glorified ways, like in these big reveals, right? Like that somebody as important as Admiral Ackbar or even Leia or Luke for that matter can pass and it be the blink of an eye, but that it'll still, you know, what they did will still live on. And that not everybody has to be this, you know, great scene in order to die. Right. And I mean, Admiral Ackbar is a big character only because we have made him one. Like, I mean, he has great scenes, but It's a Trap became much bigger than it ever should have. Right.
Like, fair enough.
I mean, there was no, I'm sure that, you know, George Lucas wasn't like, okay, I'm going to create this Admiral Ackbar and he's going to become this phenomenon. Like, I mean, it was probably the last thing on his mind when he, you know, created Admiral Ackbar.
And they even changed, you know? I can't remember what the original words were, but they changed the words post filming to It's a Trap. So, yeah.
I've heard that story too, but you know, I mean, this movie has become so much more than I think anyone ever planned. I mean, obviously, I mean, you don't plan to become the most iconic film franchise in the history of the world, right? I mean, you probably hope, but that's not going to happen. And so I'm okay with him just passing away, without a huge hoopla.
So Jeff, that kind of flies in the face of Robert Kirkman's policy on The Walking Dead, where good characters get good deaths. How do you feel about that?
It seemed like a good enough death. I mean, it's not like they do specifically say Admiral Ackbar died in this attack. It's not like, well, how come Ackbar just kind of disappeared? You know, it was a good enough death for the amount of character he actually had to do. And actually, it makes sense that they had to kill him off, because it seems like if only Leia is injured in that attack, like, well, it means Ackbar is the person in charge.
And you're not going to make him Holden. Like, I mean, you want his character to still hold its great weight. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are mad. Yeah. Like Ackbar would be like, yes, rah, 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 I'm smart. I'm going to do this, but,
don't go there. It's a trap.
He'll get a hammerhead Corvette. Oh, wait, that was the other guy.
That was Radis. Okay, so as long as we're talking about the deaths, Carrie Fisher's death a little bit, let's jump over to William's email. that he sent in. He said that he saw Last Jedi and he had a lot of thoughts, and one really worried him. His worry was about the boy with the secret decoder ring. I like that. I want a secret decoder ring. He had issues with the secret decoder ring. I like secret decoder rings.
As opposed to those non-secret decoder rings?
Well, the public decoder rings, right?
What is his issue with it?
So he's concerned about it, and as he watches the stars and brings the broom handle up like it's a lightsaber, he says he sees three possibilities for this moment. The first one is that it means nothing. And
which, if this movie has taught us anything, it means nothing.
Except William is expecting that, so it can't. It can't be that.
So he's expecting it to mean nothing, which means it will mean something.
If we expect that it means something, then it's going to mean nothing. Oh, okay.
One plus one plus two plus one.
His second thought is that due to Carrie Fisher's death, they're going to do a time skip and explain Princess Leia's death. They'll age up Rey, and Rey will be training an apprentice who we're going to see wearing a secret decoder ring. And then
I hope not.
Three, he says they're going to copy Phantom Menace. Rey and the Rebel scum will be in a huge battle with the Supreme Leader and the First Order, and some random kid is going to steal a spaceship and save the day wearing the secret decoder ring. He says,
this is pod racing.
He says, one and two, I will forgive. If number three is true, I will never watch Star Wars again. Probably. Sigh. Okay. I'll be very upset, but I'll still end up watching Star Wars. He goes on to say that the one thing that made up for almost the entire movie was Luke flicking the dust off of his shoulder. And
oh, that was so funny.
but then he didn't like the Matrix duck in that fight scene. Anyway,
I had a small issue with that scene.
Okay. Hang on. Before we talk about that Luke scene though, I did want to ask you, what do you think they're going to do for Carrie Fisher's death?
She's going to appear in hologram so they can get away with the CGI face easier, and the ship she's on is going to blow up.
They promised they were not going to CGI her face.
Fine. She's going to have voiceover and she's going to die in a ship.
They're going to pull a Samuel L. Jackson with the Avengers Infinity War trailer.
It'll be interesting. I don't know. I think they're a lot smarter than me, so hopefully they'll come up with something.
Yeah, there's a reason they're writing Star Wars and we're not.
That being said, okay, so option three, where they're going to go Phantom Menace and have the kid jump in the spaceship, I did feel more prequel vibes from this than I did from The Force Awakens.
Sure.
Did you guys feel that way?
Because, I mean, we're definitely setting up the Resistance, right? I mean, it's a renewal. It's a refresh, right? Like...
See, I'm talking about the slapstick jokes with, or not with like with BB-8 in the whole Canto
vibes. I think Hollywood just can't help themselves right now. I think they look at all the success in Marvel, they look at how Batman v Superman just failed, and they have to throw jokes in for joke's sake. I think that it is a fad that is in Hollywood right now. I mean, it's been a long time since I've gone to a blockbuster movie where this was not the, you know, the norm. And so I really feel that it's just a product of our time right now. And okay. I think that it'll eventually end. Like, I think it'll eventually, they'll go away from it, because I think even already now people are starting to say, this is ridiculous. Just give me a good movie. And hopefully... within the next little while, Hollywood will listen. But I really just think it's a product of the times.
Okay, so then with that, I completely agree with you. I've been thinking that for a while, that's what they're doing. But I wanted somebody else to confirm it for me. So thank you for that. Jeff, I've confirmed it. Nick's confirmed it. Do you feel like this one was prequel-y, or do you think...
I don't know what you mean by prequel-y.
The creatures, they were so many.
Now
like,
that's pod racing.
Super CGI and slapstick humor, like BB-8 becoming the best fighter in the entire Resistance, and the BB-8 stealing the AT-ST and riding
was
like
funny.
A cowboy.
I loved that.
Well, that was the exact scene from Jedi. You know,
I was like Wookiee.
It shows up and there's Chewbacca. You know. Was that too prequel-y for you before prequel-y thing was a word?
There was a lot of nods in this movie, you know, to previous stuff, which I thought was fine. I mean, I was okay with it.
Okay.
I mean, we are kind of getting to the point where it's like, because there's been so many movies and so many movies have parodied Star Wars, and because we have overanalyzed these because we're nerds,
apparently
that
Jeff
we look at
though.
The Snoke scene and we say, this is exactly like the Emperor scene. Now, whether or not that was on purpose or it's just that there's only 7 stories to tell, but at the same time, like I didn't really feel like it when I was watching it at that moment. It wasn't until other people were like, wow, this was exactly the same scene. And I was like, but maybe we needed that in a movie that was so foreign, right? When everything was so foreign, maybe it was a conscious decision from the director to say, I'm going to put nods of stuff that you are familiar with so that, you know, you can feel at home with this property because I am making drastic changes to what you feel. And I really feel like the director probably did that. He's like, okay, I'm going to put stuff that you will look at and say, yep, that is Star Wars for me. And I think that for that same reason, people are getting upset, right?
Probably.
Oh, it's the same movie. Oh, it's completely a different movie.
I do want to point out that I think that not as many people would be getting upset except for that Rotten Tomatoes score got hacked by a bunch of bots. I think that a lot of people looked at that and said, oh, everybody else is saying this is terrible. Why is everybody else saying this is terrible? Because I remember, granted, I was young, but I remember leaving the Phantom Menace thinking that was awesome and going and seeing it multiple times again. It wasn't until I was older and everyone else told me that it was terrible that I started seeing all the problems in that film. And I think that it's the social proof where people are like, oh, well, everyone else doesn't like it. I can't say that I like it because then I'm not going to be cool. I think had that bot army not put a bunch of negative reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, I don't think we would have as many negative comments about that. Just kind of change the tone a little bit. I wanted to wrap up the feedback. Yes, we're still in feedback. Granted, we've talked about a lot of stuff. In Sarah's feedback, she also pointed us to a link that, you know, she wrote on Medium an article about about, she called it A Bad Romance We Are, Temptation and Shipping in The Last Jedi. This is Sarah Lynn, who came in and helped us with all the...
She likes to talk about shipping.
Shipping is one of her favorite things. And so she was talking about the Kylo Ren and Rey ship and why she doesn't ship it. So I will have a link to that in the show notes because it's got a bunch of numbers on it. Hard to say over the air. But link to that is in the show notes. Okay, so we have talked about thoughts and concerns that other people have had, that we've had.
So I have a thought.
Okay.
Just a question. So I think it was, I liked the Yoda part. Okay, I'm just going to throw that out. Like, I liked that Yoda was brought in. I think that it was awesome that it wasn't Luke that destroyed the tree, that it was Yoda.
Okay, here's the thing.
I think that that was on purpose, and I think that it was good because if Luke had destroyed the tree, I mean, it wouldn't have meant the same thing that it does now.
No, and that's right? True, but here it's going to mean something else in the next Star Wars movie, because unless you were watching really closely in multiple showings, you may not have noticed this, but in the final scene when they're all in the Falcon.
Yeah, she has the book.
Finn goes and opens up the drawer to get a blanket, and the books are sitting in there. Yoda was covering for Rey. Yoda said that Rey has all of the knowledge that is in those books, and he didn't mean because she's learned it. He mean because she stole the books. And if Luke had gone,
I also think that he did it to show Luke that it's not a bad thing. Like Luke, I think Luke was saying to himself, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I'm going to do this and I'm making this decision and, you know, it's this grand thing.
And he's like, it's no big deal. Just do it.
And then he's like, dude, this is not a big deal.
Yeah. And I think, it's multi-layered, you know, for sure. For sure it's multi-layered, but Yoda is just so sneaky.
And Yoda is the one, and Yoda also knows that he's the only person that can get to Luke at this time. Like he knows, oh my gosh, this guy's freaking out. I know my pupil. I know this guy. I've been living, watching him as a force ghost on this island. The reason he hasn't gone completely nuts is because I've hung out with him. At least that's the way I like to think of it. Because I'm pretty sure that those caretaker people are probably not good conversation, and neither are Porgs. But, you know, and I also like the fact that Yoda has also learned the same lessons that Luke has kind of learned, is that the Jedi weren't all like completely great, right? Like that they had their flaws, and that is something that I think that Yoda learned when he realized that he failed, right? And he goes into exile himself. I also like the fact that it wasn't like war, Clone Wars Yoda, that it was crazy. Like, I've been on Dagobah forever and I don't take myself seriously, Yoda.
They even
joking
used the
whole time.
They like, even used the puppet in Frank Oz, and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, and so like you got all of these glimpses of the Yoda. You know, he was the Yoda for Luke, right? Like, I mean, if he would have all of a sudden changed into this general that was like, I am all wise and this is what I'm going to tell you, like, that's not what Luke knows Yoda as. I mean, he might.
Yeah.
But
well, it depends on how much he hung out with him.
But even Yoda had some like lines when he was talking. I was like, well, that's going to be a meme. I like turned to Jeff and I was like, that's going to be a meme. And I think it was, our greatest teacher failure is, or something like that is what he says.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's definitely true. And that was the theme of the show, right? Like our greatest teacher is that we failed. Poe failed. Phasma failed, right? I don't, you know, Finn failed at his mission. Luke failed in a grand way, his apprentice. Rey failed because she thought that this great thing was going to happen. And then she's not a Jedi yet. And so she's got to do it herself. Right.
Okay.
Like Luke failed her too. I don't know. Like, I mean, this is the, you know, like failure is the greatest teacher.
Yeah. Oh, no,
that's the theme of this show.
I completely agree with you. Although I tell you, there were some times, some spectacular times where you thought they were not going to fail when they did. So my son's name is Kyle. And so naturally his favorite character in the new series is Kylo Ren, because then he can say he's Kyle Ren. And so we went to see Star Wars and he wore his Kylo Ren costume, and I was afraid of him turning on the lightsaber, so I didn't let him bring that in. But he was just so excited about it and it was happening. And then the scene where Kylo Ren kills Snoke and they're fighting back to back, he literally jumps in his seat and he's like fist pumping. He's like, yes, 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 he's good. He's good. because yeah. He thought that he was, and then he was so just dejected when he failed, or when Rey failed, I guess, because he wanted Kylo Ren to be good so bad. And do you think, I don't know. So, I mean, another theme of this movie was you've got to let go of the past, which is another theme that these fanboys are not seeing. Kylo Ren didn't even, he's like, let go of the past, kill it if you have to. But then here he is not letting go of anything from his past. But he's telling Rey that she has to let go of her past. It's really easy to tell other people that they have to do these things. Let me ask you, since Rey failed, is Kylo Ren beyond redemption now?
Yes.
Was Vader...
Sorry, I just leaned back away from my mic. Yeah, we need a villain. Might as well be Kylo Ren.
Was Vader beyond redemption? Obviously, the writers didn't think so.
Yeah, well, Vader had... Screw it. Kylo Ren's not redeemable. I'm just going to say it.
So
he had a chance and he chose to maybe destroy the whole galaxy and start from scratch.
There was a moment that he was, and I think he stepped past that line.
Yeah. So
we saw it in this movie.
So Luke quoted one line to him from Obi-Wan. He said, "Strike me down in anger and I will always be with you." And then he added, "like your father." And I think, so as I've been thinking about that, I think that Obi-Wan started the redemption process and the confliction process in Darth Vader. That by killing Obi-Wan, Darth Vader started to become conflicted. Anakin became conflicted. And because, you know, he struck him down in anger and he was always with him after that. So I think Obi-Wan actually started Vader down that path of trying to decide between the light side and the dark side there. And I wonder if it was Obi-Wan's master plan by allowing himself to be killed, because that's always bugged me, that he just kind of like stopped and said, okay, strike me with your lightsaber. But maybe Obi-Wan knew that that was what his people needed. That was what his friend needed. And I think that that's the same thing as what happened with Kylo Ren when he killed Han. And then he decided, you know what? Not redeemable.
What's something else I just thought of? I just thought of another thing that could be taken from this is that sometimes we believe that we need somebody to help us become great. So we, like Rey felt like, I need to go and you need to teach me the ways of the Force, and this is the way that it needs to happen.
I need somebody to show me my place in this.
Yeah, but in the end, she found her own place. She did her own thing. She didn't have anyone else help her, right? I mean, she was helped in the fact that this person refused to help her. And, you know, I mean, we can get into a big debate. But in the end, she's the one that's going to teach herself her place. She's the one that's going to teach herself the Force by reading books and, you know, whatever else. I'm sure that Yoda and Luke are now going to come and teach her as Force ghosts what's going on. But that's another thing you can take from this movie, is that you can be self-made. You don't need people to carry you.
That's a very good point. I think a lot of this was about being self-made, especially on Rey's part, that she just needs to figure out who she is. And then once she does, she's there. Okay, Jeff, I'm going
to
ask you, what do you
tell
think,
us who we
what
are.
What do you think about Canto Bites, the whole side quest with Finn and Rose, once they like got onto the quest? Was there anything that stuck out to you there?
It felt weird. Kind of like, I understand there was for a purpose, but it just kind of felt like a,
what purpose was it
jamming
for?
Benicio del Toro in our throats, you know?
Is that the purpose, to get Benicio del Toro in there?
That's what it kind of felt like. It was, had it worked, it would have been great. The triumphant heroes, but it failed. It almost got him killed. And then the actual plan almost got him killed.
Well, and they, so they almost like, ruined everything for everybody else. And I mean, this goes back to there were 400 people.
They got a lot of people killed
at the beginning of the show. They say that there are about 400 rebels with them, or resistance with them. And so by the end of it, they all fit on the Falcon, and it was Poe's fault that like all of them died. And because he was the one who sent them on this. But so I think, so did you notice like the Benicio del Toro, Star Wars is not just a movie franchise anymore. It's books, it's comics, it's cartoons, it's everything. I feel a little bit like DJ, who's the name of the codebreaker that they do pick up, that I almost feel like this is Lucasfilm shoving a character down our throat, like you said, for the properties like books and comics. Do you think we'll see a Codebreaker comic coming out from Star Wars?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want one. I haven't bought a single Star Wars comic.
I bought a lot of them. Anyway, this is my thought. I believe that this was the director saying that there doesn't have to be a light side or a dark side. There can be a gray side. Now, everyone was talking about the gray Jedi, right? Everyone was saying, oh, Rey's going to be the gray. Well, it's clearly that she's not. And it's clear that Luke is not either, right? Like, this gray Jedi business is kind of ridiculous now, okay? But there is a gray character in this movie. And he even brings it up. He says, there's only one thing that matters. It doesn't matter that they're on the good side or the bad side. All of these rich people are selling to both sides. The only thing that matters is money.
to them, right? And so he shows that there is a gray side to the galaxy, and that's something that we haven't been shown in Star Wars yet. Like, he's building a universe. Like, he's building more and making it more rich by creating a character that literally is Han Solo that never turns good. He only cares about one thing, and that's himself. And when the opportunity is risen to him to, you know, benefit himself, and he even says it, he takes it. And that's something that we've never seen in Star Wars.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's definitely that whole scene there, because I had a hard time, because I got to the end of that part before they got on the crate, and I thought to myself, well, this is where you wrap the movie up, but then you have the whole crate thing. I feel like the movie would have worked if you would cut out that whole Canto Bight side quest, because there are some plot holes. However, this is my ice cream being cold moment. So Finn, when he rescued Poe from the ship, he rescued Poe because he needed a pilot. And then all of a sudden we're seeing him fly to Canto Bights. So apparently he learned how to fly while being unconscious.
Rose flew.
Hmm?
It was Rose.
No, but
she was the pilot.
But Finn was flying.
I'm the internet in this scenario. It was Rose. Finn wasn't doing it. It was the autopilot. Shut up.
Okay. All right. So speaking of Rose then, is she dead?
No.
Do you care?
Not really.
So I feel like her whole point in this entire movie was to get us to look at that gray side, kind of like Nick was saying, but also to not look at like world governments, look at the individual people, because obviously the world governments have abandoned the resistance, the rebellion, because Holdo calls them Godspeed rebels at the very end. And I feel like that, you know, when none of them showed up, it's no longer world governments that are going to band with them. It is going to be the common working class people. So I think that's what Rose was all about. And then, you know, she did the thing that she did right before she kissed Poe. I really liked that saying, because this applies to anything that we are fighting in our lives. It's not just about fighting against the things we hate, but saving the things that we love. So often in politics, you hear this side is evil because of this. And then you don't hear the, you should vote for me because of this. You just hear, I'm not like this person. And it's like, I don't care that you're not like them. Who are you? What do you care about? What are you going to build? Are you just going to not do what this other person would do? Because then that's kind of a dumb choice. You're letting that other person decide everything. Anyway, that was my take on Rose. Any other thoughts?
I think Rose is in the equivalent of Carbonite in this movie. If she doesn't come back in the next one, she doesn't have to come back, but she could. I don't know. I don't know if I liked her character. But, you know. Also, the whole thing with her sister was confusing at first. Like, am I supposed to understand what that medallion thing is? Oh, wait, no, it's explained.
It's just the friendship medallion kind of a thing.
Sister.
Yeah, it's just what her it just gave depth to her character more than she's time, just a random person.
The whole time her sister was dying and she kept clutching that thing, I was thinking, oh, is she a force user? What's happening? In my head I'm thinking, am I supposed to recognize that symbol? And I did. Yeah. And then it didn't matter. But not like it doesn't matter that who Snoke is or who Rey's parents are, a different kind of doesn't matter.
Okay, so yeah. I think we've talked a ton about these characters. There's still obviously more that we could talk about, because it's Star Wars. We could talk a whole lot more, like the fact that Poe really did just meet Rey at the end of this film. They had not met before this.
Yeah, that was funny.
And you know, I just like, oh, I guess they haven't met, or the fact that the Porgs are there for practical reason. Yes, they're cute and they can sell merchandise. That's not the practical reason, though.
The Porgs are the new Ewoks.
No, because they were not mission and plot critical.
Okay, so the Porgs are just dumber Ewoks?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, they're just merchandise is all they are.
So the practical reason why they're there, though, is because the island in Ireland that they filmed Octu on is covered in puffins. And these puffins are not afraid of people because it's illegal for people to kill these birds on that island. And so they have never learned a fear of people. And so you couldn't just like shoo them away and not have them there in scenes. And so they figured it was just easier to CGI in some porgs. And then, you know, they probably some of the puffins as they're flying around.
That's really funny.
Don't look like aren't CG'd over and they're porgs.
So there was the running joke that Luke's been eating porgs and Mark Hamill says, no, no, no. Luke's a vegetarian.
What's that fish about?
Ate a pretty big fish.
maybe that it's was payment for being able to live at the temple. He was giving it to the caretakers.
Maybe.
And we're not going to talk about like... the green milk.
No, let's not talk about the green milk.
That was funny.
It wouldn't have been near
maybe
as bad.
But
just,
it was funny.
Just the fact that it was like all over his face and he kind of had this crazy look on his face.
That was what
like
made
if
it
he just
bad.
Drank it, that was fine. That's what made it like unsettling is that he was like crazy looking when he like drank it anyway.
Yeah. I've seen your daily habits. You're not busy. Anyway. Yeah. Green milk. Ugh. Porgs practical. Yeah, anything else you guys wanted to go over before we wrap this up?
Please tell me the Funko we're giving away is not a porg.
Roasted pork.
Okay, if there's a roasted pork Funko, I will buy it right now. Charles, order that Funko.
So I think we've covered what we can cover for tonight. We may readdress some of these issues in the future. Heck, it's the Fandom Podcast. We will readdress some of these issues in the future. But if you enjoyed the Star Wars talk, you can head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast and let us know. You can also send us a comment saying that, hey, I signed up because of Star Wars. Give me more Star Wars. It's a thing. We do what you want. So we rely on listeners like you to be able to keep this thing going. If you can't afford the dollar a month right now, that's okay. We get it. You can send us feedback@fandompodcast.com. You can like our page on facebook.com/fandompodcast. You can tweet at us. You can tweet at us on Twitter @fandomcast. You can go to our website, fandompodcast.com/contact. Like, you don't have an excuse not to let us know what you're thinking. If you made it through this entire episode, it's because you really like The Last Jedi. So we're going to do another Funko Pop, and it's going to be a Last Jedi related Funko Pop giveaway on New Year's Day. Sign up to be a patron before New Year's Day and you will be entered to win that Funko Pop. We're getting towards the end of the month here, and so you don't have much time left. You just got a couple weeks left. Not even a couple full weeks, about a week. Yeah, get on that. Not even a week. Yeah, a week. See what I said about sounding stupid?
Just do it. No, that sounded mean. But I'm just saying, like, just don't worry about time frame. Just do it anyway. I'm sure we'll do more Funko Pops. Yeah. I have a surplus of them.
Yep. We'll see. If this works, we'll do more. If it doesn't, if you guys like this, let us know.
It's not like I bought two more at the nerd store the other day. It's not like I didn't know there was Tron ones and I bought Tron and Stark.
All right.
It's not that. That's not what happened.
Okay, so like we've been talking about, though, Patreon is our primary way to support us. We also have affiliate links, fandompodcast.com/audible to get 2 free audiobooks. fandompodcast.com/CBS to get 7 days free on CBS All Access. Catch up on that Star Trek Discovery. Or you can go to fandompodcast.com/Amazon and purchase anything, literally anything on Amazon, and we'll get an affiliate commission back on that. All right, guys, until next time.
You're no Vader. You're just a child in a mask.
Live long and prosper.
May the fandom be with you. Okay, so my son, while we were watching that scene, he actually, like, he sees Kylo Ren walking into the throne room with his mask on. So he puts his mask on and he's watching the scene. And Snoke yells at him to take that stupid mask off. And my son very slowly takes the mask off and hides it underneath his legs.
Oh, jeez. That's adorable.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I love that.
That was a lot of fun. This aired in 1997, 27 years ago. You're okay.
No. It's not how math works, but continue.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
If it aired in 1997, it wouldn't have been, it can't be 27.
It's 20 years, not 27 years.
You added a 7.
Oh, sorry. Did I say 27? It's because I was doing the math in my head.
Yes.
Okay.
You don't do math
well,
on air.
I was thinking, I was born in 93 and I'm not 27.
It first aired in 1990 and it's, and so 27 year old spoiler. Anyway, that, we're getting way deep into the weeds here for something that was supposed to be shorter. So,
that was a lot of not going into the podcast talk.
Yep. That sure was.
Oh, I think that means we're done.